Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, March the 11th, 73rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, live. Yeah, okay, we'll go with live. From the National Weather Service, Mr. Troy Nicolini. Hey, Gar.
Nice to be here.
This would be a time for you to respond.
I am alive.
Yeah, good, good. Yeah, you're still contemplating the live one, aren't you?
It is kind of a gloomy day out there, so I might not look as lively as normal, but...
Oh, hey, listen, any day on the bay is good, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
As contrasted to those of us who don't get the opportunity to work on the bay.
Yeah, it's a blessing.
And stay dry.
Yeah.
Yeah. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time. There's going to be another mock exercise coming up later on this month. We'll talk a bit about that and just whatever other things might pop in, like what is fog? What is hail? Yeah, I'm just noticing him so we can start doing
his research. There's probably a pun in there somewhere.
Probably, and we'll see if we can flush it out when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon. KINS News and Information Time is 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Troy Nicolini. But before we do our quote this afternoon, you want Buddha or Victor Hugo?
Buddha.
Okay, Buddha. Quote, we are shaped by our thoughts. We become what we think.
Wow.
So that must mean you're a hailstorm waiting to happen, huh?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
What the hail?
You're a wooden hull boat about to crash.
Yeah.
Or set sail, one or the other, huh? I think that was the last time we talked about the boat.
About wood boats, yeah.
How saturated is your rope?
Pretty wet right now.
Is it? Yeah. Okay. And the project's still plunking along.
I kind of put it on hold for the winter. I turned to the list of things my wife has made for me to do around the house during the winter.
I would think being on a boat in the winter would be apropos.
Well, it's just kind of wet and miserable. I mean,
boating's
more of a summertime. Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, okay. It's not like the Ark then.
No.
You don't have any concerns.
No.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit, Troy, about some of the emergency exercises that you folks go through. We'll hear about it from the cops and the fire guys, yep. And they'll do their exercises every once in a while, and the CHP will get involved, and we'll hear about some of their stuff, and every once in a while the tsunami warnings, or we'll have the sirens fire off, and just to make sure that all are firing off and talking properly.
And of course we're going to interrupt your broadcast.
We do that all the time, though, anyway.
Well, with the weekly test, yeah. But this one's like the real thing, as if it's a real tsunami emergency.
Okay.
To make sure it works for the real deal.
Whenever that one might happen to occur.
Yeah.
What is the goal of all this stuff? I mean, is there a measurable thing that you can do?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, anybody who's listening now who's perhaps heard one of our interruptions of TV or radio may have heard a garbled voice in the past, or it wasn't clear. Those are the things we actually like to.
That was you.
Yeah, that was me. I mean, or perhaps somebody, let's say somebody listens to their favorite radio station and we announce that we're testing the tsunami warning system and their radio station should be interrupted with a tsunami warning, but they notice nothing happens. Well, that means that perhaps their radio station doesn't participate in the emergency alert system. It is a voluntary system. So that's at the very minimum, that's useful, I think, for listeners to know. For example, KINS listeners will always hear about any emergency the National Weather Service broadcasts over radio, whether it be a tsunami or a high wind warning or anything else. So I think it's very useful for folks to know if their radio station participates or not.
Well, let me ask you about the little snafu that happened. I think everybody survived the zombie scare of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
What happened, if folks are unaware, what happened?
Wait, what are you referring to?
The zombie, somebody hacked into the EAS systems in three or four states.
Right, right.
And it was the zombie raid or zombie invasion.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still remember the music group, The Zombies. So I kind of got a little confused on that one.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, fortunately, it didn't hit our region. Well, let me ask you, what security do you have in place so somebody can't break in here in the middle of the night and get on? Because you are an local
break into the facility?
I mean, technically, they could do that via your system, physical system or remotely, right?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. I suppose if there was really a will, there would be a way.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't stop the truly dedicated, as we're finding out.
Yeah.
What was it? Schwarzenegger and Jay-Z and a whole bunch of folks had their stuff exposed yesterday on the internet.
Oh, no.
Yeah, other personals and, with their values and all that. And security. I mean, it'll happen if somebody wants to.
Right.
But I think the prudent part is, the normal stuff.
Yeah, and actually, I think I had never thought of it, but the test we do, like we're going to do this March 27th, just a couple of weeks away. People will hear the activation and I think it's a good opportunity for folks to hear a real activation of the emergency alert system at least once a year so they know what a real one sounds like so that if somebody does come on with, a hoax, hopefully it will ring as a hoax to their ear because they've been trained once a year by hearing the real deal.
And it's stuck.
See, now we found another benefit of testing every year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and there certainly have been some challenges in the past. There was the nationwide one last November that
what we learned is that we're behind the Redwood Curtain from a broadcasting and a signal standpoint. It's actually very hard. Many folks may not know, but the emergency alert system was the successor of the emergency broadcast system. If you're over about 40, you probably remember that as a child. That was put in place basically so the president could alert everybody in the nation in the case, the Russians attacked back in the 50s. So that's always been a central theme of this system, that right now Barack could get on and interrupt everybody's radio and TV station to say something hopefully really important, of profound national security significance. And that was tested, and it was found that out here we really couldn't get a direct signal very well for our radio stations. So that just means they'd have to actually call somebody on the phone like our office and have us activate it because, of course, we can reach all the radio stations here from our office on Woodley Island.
So that has been, I suppose, one of the issues for some time. The old EBS system was
right.
A tone, boom, and it was run through the networks.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than each station independently being connected in.
Right.
The accessibility, if somebody did want to either play a hoax or, and there's depends on what side of the conspiracy you lie on, are there safeguards in place?
There are. In fact, when we test this system on March 27th, from my office in Eureka, we send a digital message out. And people may have heard that during a weekly test, or it sounds like a duck squawk. That's its name. It goes, and so when we do that on March 27th, they'll hear that on your radio station.
You also hear some commercials in just a sec. It's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:23. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Troy Nicolini. Troy, the concept of having the entire country, I guess, wired together would be the simplest way to say it. I know for those who have conspiracy thoughts, that this opens up the opportunity for an individual, an entity, someone, to get instantaneous access to the entire population. Okay. Now, I don't think anybody's going to mess around with that one, but there are certainly enough groups that would love to have that opportunity, even if it was for only 2 or 3 minutes, to get something out to cause either concern, an unsettling feeling, or, you know, to make hay with something.
Yeah.
Are there safeguards that are in place that either would preclude that or really make it more challenging than just hacking into a system and having a microphone on your computer?
Boy, you know, as you're asking that question, so clearly it gave me time to think about it. And honestly, I think the greatest safeguard is the weakness in the system. I mean, we just tested and it was actually impossible to reach every nook and cranny of the United States from one point. So while we'd like to think the system is designed so that the president or somebody could inappropriately just get on there and suddenly address all Americans in real time instantaneously, you know, in that scale, it just doesn't work that way. By the time it actually was able to work, somebody could stop the person doing it, you know, and kill it. And in fact, you know, we tested here locally. Look at the problems we turn up. I mean, every year we turn up problems. We work with various broadcasters and work with our equipment and make sure that everybody's going to get the signal just in our three little counties. And it's a pretty big task to keep all that stuff running smoothly. You know, for example, cable providers and broadcast TV stations have to have agreements on file about who provides the emergency alert system. And you know, those get outdated. I mean, it's amazing how complex it is to keep the whole system working smoothly. So I think it's a weird say. There's legitimate safeguards. Like if I called you in the middle of the night and said, Brian, could you activate the emergency alert system for something? And you recognize my voice, that's a safeguard. But if you didn't, you could ask for a password, and we have plans that have passwords in them, and I would have to read off the password to you, and you have to verify it's the right password. So there are some logical protections, but I think the greatest protection is the fact that the system probably will never work so perfectly that somebody could instantly reach all Americans. So maybe that's
good. Of
course,
my response would be Troy, who?
Yeah. Well, if it's tomorrow, you might remember who.
Not tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's. I would think that's something that's a bit of a challenge. The different drills that are done in different parts of the country. You know, mm-hmm. Tornado Alley.
Yep.
I would hazard a guess that they probably don't have to bother drilling, because they're replacing things on a very regular basis. The protocols
they get a lot of real tornadoes.
Yeah, four times a week. They're on alert. They're doing. They're talking. They're deploying their troops. Yep. You know, the staffs are all going. Piece of cake. I would think the vulnerable points would be those places that are more sanguine that don't get any.
Well,
Western Texas.
Right. They get them, but infrequently, yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. You know, it could be 5 years between events.
Well, you know, interesting, one of my forecasters was pointing out that it seems like the entire Midwest and South is getting hit by tornadoes every year, but any one place, any one town may not get hit as often as it seems. It's just the whole, somewhere in the region they get hit. So
to be on alert,
yeah,
you know, that kind of, you know.
There's spillover and people get
100-mile swath or the snowstorms that they've been going through the last little bit or.
Yeah.
But I would imagine that there are some enclaves that don't get it on a regular basis.
Well, and frankly, that's why we test here, because, of course, tsunamis are pretty rare. You know, we don't get one. We don't get 4 or 5 per year, for example, certainly. We've had more in the past 10 years. And
we get high tides.
Yeah, we get high tides. And so, you know, we've always thought of, especially the really big tsunamis. I mean, the last really big one that, you know, killed a significant number of people was in 1964. That was the year I was born. It was a long time ago. That kind of event for this region is why we think it's so important to both test the system, but also to test people and test communities and help give people an opportunity to conduct drills and evacuation drills and make sure they know where their go kit is. Do you have a flashlight by your bed, for example, ready to go in case of an earthquake?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. But many people don't think about it.
You got 5 of them out here too.
Do you?
Yeah, just so I can sneak up on the guys when they're sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, I would think, Troy, you tapped on something that I don't think a lot of folks consider. It's not the providers that need the practice.
Right.
It's the community, and it's probably not even a majority of the community. It's that 30-35% that are new since the last flood that went over Fernbridge.
No, you're right.
Or the last earthquake in 91 that was really something that had an event. those folks and those passing through, that those are, that's the target. That 20,000 person block is really what we're doing it for.
Yeah,
not the rest of us.
No, you're right. When I first came here 15 years ago and started addressing flooding issues, you know, we finally had some big floods come along, and I was sort of startled, like, wow, the river's flooded, and there was nobody got in trouble. I mean, the locals have adjusted pretty well to the harsh weather up here.
No big deal.
Yeah. But, you know, and finally
cleaning out the channel.
Right. Okay. All the debris. I've talked to folks who've been around, who were around in the 1960 tsunami, the 1964 flood, the 1964 tsunami. That was a bad year, by the way. Same year, they got the worst flood and the worst tsunami on record.
It could have been worse.
What are the odds?
Could have been Crescent City.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, you know, and those folks have a lot of knowledge and memory and sort of are know how to think about those hazards. But you're right, the new immigrants or folks who haven't been around that long, I just was talking to a young family in Manila, and we asked them, you know, what would you do if there was a big earthquake? And the guy was pretty dialed in about earthquakes, but he didn't even think about the tsunami, even though he lives in a low-lying area. So it's clear that our work is definitely not done in making sure that everybody knows how to take care of themselves and their family and maybe their community. Because in the big event, the government's not going to be there for folks. They've really got to be self-reliant. Think ahead, prepare ahead.
Now, this is a government employee, folks, saying that.
Yeah, no, we...
It's 3:30.
This is Fred Van Vleck, Eureka City School Superintendent. Exciting new things are happening in our district next year. Reducing our kinder through third grade class size to 23-1. Eliminating our combination classes in the reopening of Winship Middle School. Remember, we are the largest district on the North Coast, allowing us to have the most diverse course in extracurricular offerings. Enrollment is happening now. Please stop by the district office across from Eureka High School or visit the website at eurekacityschools.org.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Troy Nicolini from the island of Humboldt Bay. Yes. Troy, it seems to me, and I don't know, maybe I'm a little bit more myopic, but it still seems to me, we've had a lot more hail this year, this summer, or winter time, rather.
Yeah, it's our hail season.
Than what we normally will get over 3 or 4 years. Is it possible? Can weather come in cycles like that, where we get an awful lot of some things and then not much, kind of like the accordion?
Yeah, and actually, in fact, that very much, I just mentioned to you during the break or last break that, you know, we've had some summers with tons of lightning outbreaks and other summers that have very few.
So, yeah, same. Yeah.
You know, same with hail. And there's often natural cycles in how weather comes. But with the hail, I ask you, is there been more hail or have you been more aware of it? Because it just so happens this year we launched a pretty aggressive campaign.
Measure the hail?
Well, no, to let people know about hail. You know what? Hail actually turns out to be our greatest sort of classic weather hazard around here for transportation. It causes people to spin out and get in crashes and sadly sometimes serious crashes. So we've really ramped up our effort working with Caltrans. So for example,
I've not heard any
really
or seen no.
Well, we actually have your radio station signed up to put out PNSs, public service announcements, PSAs, excuse me, during those small hail events. So
why don't you send them in advance so we can run them so nobody gets surprised?
Well, we have two kinds. One is an educational one that kind of gives the background. By the way, would you like the background? The basic education. If you see dark clouds ahead or really heavy rain or you see hail on the road ahead, let off your gas pedal before you get to it so that you're not trying to slow down in the hail. That's the most important thing, to be really proactive looking ahead to try and anticipate a hail event. It's not always possible to see it, but if you're driving into an absolute black cloud, that's a good chance that there's either going to be really heavy
rain. Something's going on, yeah.
Or hail. And if it's hail, the time to slow down is before you get on top of the hail. Now, if you do end up on top of hail driving, and we've all probably been there, the key then is easy on the steering wheel, easy on the brakes. If you slam on the brakes, you're going to spin. If you jerk the steering wheel, you're going to spin. So if you need to slow down, let off on the gas pedal, you know.
You sure you don't have like a gun and a badge?
Why is that? Do I sound like law enforcement now?
You're sounding like, CHP last month.
Well, yeah, because, you know, but the one key thing that also is important, if you do pull over because there's so much hail that you're worried about spinning out of control, so you pull over, don't get out of the car. Stay in the car with seatbelts, because that's one of the fatalities.
I'm going to look for a vest.
Yeah.
That's what Chase was pretty much saying.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding. That's funny. Yeah.
Because
someone else spins out of control.
Surprise. Yeah. Well, you know, Titlow Hill, we had 7 or 8 slides over into the gutters and stuff.
Yeah.
With the last one, last Wednesday, we went up through the bypass and going up, it was a slushy, heavy, slushy.
Yeah, it's spooky.
Snowy. Yeah. And you go, okay, so you drive slow and then you get some clown roaring past.
Yeah.
And you don't, you know, you don't want to pull over because then you're out of the tracks.
Right.
You don't want to speed up. You don't want to hit the brakes.
Yeah.
You just, you know, lock your elbows and you know you're going to get hit with all the stuff off the road. And hopefully by the time you need it, the window is clear.
Right, exactly.
I don't know. But it seems like we're having more of those types of things. And it just is kind of curious.
Yeah, it's just the way the fronts move through. It's the cold air that comes behind the fronts.
And has the jet stream moved?
Well, it's
abnormally.
Well, it is. I'm not a climatologist in our office. You know, we look at climatology, but we really forecast 0 to 7 days. But, you know, after you've been in a place for 15 years, you notice some winters the jet streams position a little different. You ever notice some years it seems like the areas to the south are the ones that get hit? And some winters,
the Bay Area gets just drilled.
Yeah, and we're spared. And other winters, it's Medford and beyond. So that's just the natural order of things with where the jet stream tends to sort of like land on a given year for a portion of the time. So, and every year is a little different. And that's the tough thing about a hazard like hail. You might go for a year without a lot of hail. People forget how to behave in it. And so we try to remind them through some education. But the reality is we all can forget to think logically about those things, and that's where we call radio stations or email them, with a little note to say,
"Hey, phone calls are okay, man."
Well, yeah, we can call too. We send an email and basically say, "Hey, if you can mention to the traveling public today, for example, we know it's the morning rush hour and we expect hail around Humboldt Bay, then we send KINS a little email that says, hey, let your travelers know that today there's a good chance of hail, so please, slow down, be prepared for it." It's just so easy to get caught off guard by something like that. You're cruising along at 65, and all of a sudden it's like dark cloud, huh? And all of a sudden, hail. So if you have some, preemptive knowledge, maybe you can
just think a little bit.
Be ready for it. So
yeah, anticipation, isn't that the big key?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe you've heard some of those, but you say you haven't heard any of them. Boy, I'm surprised. We're not doing a good job then, Brian. We got to get the word out better.
No.
We know that when Brian passed,
I'm not doing a good job in making sure that on the air. Which means I'm not selling you the ads to guarantee the placement.
Yeah.
Boy, all of a sudden his smile disappeared on that one, guys. Selling? KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:41. I'll revive Troy and we'll be back.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Troy Nicolini. Troy, hail and other, I guess, microclimate events, is that kind of what we could call them?
Sure.
Because the thing that is amazing to me about hail is there is hail, and then 2 steps away, it's not hailing. I mean, it's not this gradient thing like we have with rain so often. And
right.
What is that about? How was it so columnar, I guess that would be the word, that it really doesn't spread out too much and either you're in or you're out?
Well, it's just the nature of the atmosphere behind the front and that cold air that you get areas where that very dramatic lift in the atmosphere that causes that to fall out in that one spot and not right next door. It's the same with showers where you can get a pouring rain event and you can actually see through it to the sunny area. So people often ask.
It's a little frustrating.
and so showers and hail events are like that. And people often ask me, like, what's the difference between shower and rain? And rain is that, it's called stratiform usually, it's uniform, and when it's raining everywhere, it's all kind of the same, and there's a very different meteorological phenomenon to produce that kind of rain versus showers and hail as well, where it's more concentrated. And that's what makes it hard to say where it's going to happen in Humboldt Bay region, for example. We know that they're going to be moving through, and there's going to be several of them, but we can't really pin down exactly where they're going to happen.
So why the forecast does anybody say showers, rain. Why not say wet? Just be right there. Because that's what most of us are looking for.
No, I know. That's a great question, Brian. You know, the Weather Service is filled with meteorologists, and we're actually starting, as an agency, starting to ask ourselves, like, why do we use these terms that mean something to us but not necessarily the public? Maybe we should use new terms or simpler words that are very clear to everybody, you know? And so we...
Clear.
Yeah.
Some clouds.
Right.
Wet.
Right,
dry.
Because
foggy.
In fact, right now, if you go to our webpage, you'll see that there's a question nationally throughout the country asking, does the idea of watch, warning, advisory make sense, or is it confusing? So we're even reexamining that fundamental thing that we do. Because,
what
you know,
watch?
Watch, warning, and advisory. Do those words mean anything to you,
Interesting.
Brian? Yeah.
Watch, I would think, would be pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Advisory means game on. And warning would be maybe.
Yeah.
50% or more.
Yeah. Advisory, game on, meaning it's the real deal.
It's happening. It's there.
So there's proof that the words are not inherently clear in what they're trying to do. Because a warning is...
It was wrong, huh?
Well, a warning is game on. It's the serious, life-threatening, imminent, okay. And high confident. You're right about watch. Watch means we think something's going to happen. It's neither imminent or we're completely confident. Advisory is sort of like, well, we're pretty darn sure it's going to happen, but it's only nuisance.
So I had advisory and warning.
You sort of, yeah, yeah. Okay. So there's... You know, clearly, sadly, in our language, there isn't words that are just clear to everybody, like the highest order of threat. You know, there was the Homeland Security had the different, you go to the airport, and it's like orange.
Colors.
Like, what's orange? I don't see yellow.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm looking for chartreuse, man.
I know.
What?
I think it's a great challenge. I don't know if in German or Spanish, there's words that everybody knows means it's the most severe threat or not, but certainly not in English.
Think of doctor or legal. Or financial, in the theme of taxes.
Yeah, yeah.
Or any of
very
these
timely.
Other things. Yeah, the jargon has very specific definition, but the rest of us will never master the jargon.
Yeah.
You know, so if you go to the hospital and you ask, you know, do you have some vitamin C?
Yeah.
Or a headache, and then you get whipped on to 15 or 20 different choices.
Yeah.
Well, each of them have very technical meanings.
Yeah,
but
mean nothing
you,
to us.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Will it work?
Yeah.
You know, is it wet?
Yeah.
I think probably as best as you could do, and if you could master that.
I think most people are puzzled by showers versus rain.
Even the percent
chance,
measurable
measurable
rainfall. You
right.
Know, what?
Yeah. Yeah, we...
okay. Fine.
Well, hopefully you'll see some improved clarity in how we communicate that stuff in the coming months and years, because we're actually starting to look at other disciplines besides meteorology, like behavioral science and social science and that's as an agency. For me,
so you're going to mess with our minds also?
Well, you know, just know by understanding how people like process information like those terms. What do they mean to people? For me, I think the discipline we should learn from the most is the business, because business has marketing, it has market analysis, it understands people's decisions and how they make decisions and how emotion plays a factor in that. So, you know, I like to bring that to bear and how we get the weather information out.
Good. Now, he just brought himself around to marketing and advertising all by himself. This is going to be a good afternoon. Thanks for coming by, Troy.
Thank you.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Troy Nicolini. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.